On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I recap the baseball team's win over Winthrop and preview their upcoming series against Auburn, and then discuss some football roster moves. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 60 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And how about that? Episode 60. We're rolling. I mean, it is a lot of fun doing this podcast. Any of y'all listening out there, I appreciate y'all a lot. Anyone who follows me and interacts with me on social media, I appreciate y'all a lot. It's been so much fun getting to know so many different Gamecock fans on different mediums. Instagram, Twitter, in person, of course. It's been so much fun, and I guess that's going to be my shameless plug. I normally try to save it for the end for y'all, but go follow me on social media if you don't already. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks, just like my last name, C-O-X, and then the Instagram handle is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks, and please like, subscribe, and most importantly, review the podcast on wherever you listen it to. I appreciate any and all feedback, but really excited for this episode for y'all here. Going to dive into baseball. They got a big series coming up. We're talking Gamecock football. Anytime I can do that, it's a blessing, but man, I needed this one. This is going to be good. Talk about some Gamecock sports. I don't know about y'all. I had a long-ass week. No particular reason. Maybe Mercury is in Gatorade because it has been a long-ass week, but before we kick things off here, have to go to the handy dandy Gamecock fact of the day. And here it is for y'all. Fact: the 2020 NFL draft marked the 17th year out of 18, that's a weird way to phrase it, in which at least one Gamecock football player was chosen. How about that? 17 out of 18 in 2020. So this calendar's a little bit behind, I guess. Well, 2021, we had a couple drafted as well, so it's all good. Make it 18 out of 19. But it's true. I mean, talked about it on the last episode. We have had such a proud history at USC of developing good players and seeing success at the next level, right? I mean, you can look at this generation right here. You got guys like Stephon Gilmore, Jadeveon Clowney, you know, obviously J.C. Horn now, amongst many others. But then you can even go a little bit far back before those guys, John Abraham, Captain Muddlin, those types. So it's been really cool to see, and I have to believe, wholeheartedly believe, that Shane Beamer is going to keep that going, because something that he stressed when he was hired, he stressed it as much as he could in the first season. He's continued to show it, put his money where his mouth is, that recruiting and developing are going to be the cornerstone of his program. And I think we're already seeing that, right? You're seeing guys take those steps up that we've wanted to see, and they just haven't. So I think when you develop that talent, word gets around, A, and guys like Spencer Rattler, Christian Beal-Smith, Terrell Dawkins, they're going to come to you to get developed, but then guys are going to want to go to your school out of high school. They're going to want to come to USC out of high school to be developed, to be the best player that they can be. They're going to help the team win. They're going to want to do that together. And then you end up going to the NFL because of it. So it's great to see. So going off of that, though, tough transition there. Sorry, y'all. I'm still getting used to this thing right here. But before we jump into baseball, I did have some football notes for you here. So a lot of movement. There was a lot going on the last week-ish with players transferring out. So we're going to cover each one of them. I might have missed one or two here. You'll have to excuse me. But from what I can gather, this is the list here. All these guys transferred out. Wide receiver, Rico Powers. Wide receiver, Eric Shaw. Tight end, EJ Jenkins. D-lineman Will Rogers, D-lineman Devontae Davis, and D-lineman Keem Green all have left the South Carolina football program. And to quote Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X. It's not a big deal, y'all. It is not a big deal. It was to be expected. Every program has some attrition after spring practice, and especially in today's day and age of the transfer portal, it is nothing new. In fact, there was a May 1st deadline for people to put their name in the transfer portal to remain eligible for the following year. So these guys, it was push come to shove. So I think a lot of them, what they did was they stuck it out in spring practice. They honed their craft. They worked on it. They wanted to see how maybe the depth chart shook out. They wanted to see how much playing time they may or may not get, and then let that determine their decision from there. And of this list, I mean, the truth of it is, like, not a lot of these guys played a whole heck of a lot, right? Will Rogers, Devontae Davis, Eric Shaw. You know, I had hoped to see Eric Shaw develop. Kind of the same deal with Rico Powers. You know, he had a couple of catches here and there. The one that I was a little bit surprised to see was E.J. Jenkins. I think when Jason Brown left, a lot of us, including myself, thought he would follow him. They've been together their whole life. And when he stayed, I was like, okay, E.J.'s sticking it out. He's in an SEC school. He has a big frame, going to continue to develop, talking about development a lot already. And to see him go, I think that's just the result of Jaheim Bell really emerging as a bona fide star. And then also Austin Stogner coming on campus eventually. You had guys like Trevion Kenyon, right? Chad Terrell, these other bigger body guys, guys in his position group who were just maybe more suited for the SEC. I liked EJ. We all liked EJ. Felt like last year we didn't use him as well as we could have, particularly in the red zone, because he made some good plays. He's huge. But I think that at the end of the day, it just didn't work out, right? It was great last year. It was perfect addition. I would have liked him to stay. I think they would have found a way to get him the ball occasionally. But I think he himself wanted to go somewhere where he can play more, show his skills, all that jazz. So I wish them all nothing but the best, as we always do on this show with players transferring out. Wish you nothing but the best. Trying to prove your situation, you go for it. That is your prerogative. Selfishly, as a fan of the Gamecocks football program, I would have liked EJ Jenkins to say. And partially, so that way when he scores, I can say, Leroy Jenkins. It was so much fun to tweet that when he had a play. And now I can't. So disappointing I got 1 year of that. It was the perfect pun. Soon as I get on Gamecock Twitter, he leaves, of course. Of course. But the flip side of this whole argument of guys leaving and not is be on the lookout for us to add one or two players through the transfer portal. I think we have room for one or two more. It's all confusing with the scholarship numbers, but if we do, I would look for us to get a tight end or an edge rusher. I think those are the two areas that Shane Beamer has publicly said he wishes we had more depth at. Personally, I'd like to see linebacker or safety. But that's okay. I'll take another tight end or a D end. Why not? I'll take any of them. We'll take any new player. So you win some, you lose some, right? We got down to the numbers that we're supposed to be at, and maybe we bring in someone along the way. But now that spring practice has concluded, it means that our coaches can go out. They're on the road. They're recruiting now. As I said, last recruiting cycle, I'm not really going to cover recruiting too closely. I'm not going to get caught up in a guy's top 6, top 10, top 12. I'm not going to get caught up in that. If it's a huge get, of course I'm going to talk about it. If it makes headlines, I'm going to talk about it. If it's a big transfer like Spencer Rattler, of course I'm going to talk about it. But I am talking about recruiting now because there is major news. That's right. Big news, the helicopter is back and it is flying around the state. The helicopter, that's right. The helicopter that belongs to USC is flying around. I don't know who was in it, but Carolina Football posted that the helicopter has taken off. That is trademarked by Cox Talking Gamecocks. Share it around. But to wrap up the thoughts here, or put a bow on football here for y'all, I did have a couple of last thoughts on the spring game. It was just the more I looked back on highlights, the more excited I got. And I thought about it again. I was actually able to catch some of the repeat there, the rewind, if you will. And while this game wasn't super flashy, there was a lot to get excited about. I totally forgot to mention Xavier Leggett last episode. Huge miss by me. That's a mental gaffe, right? He had a big, big catch. Now, if he can continue to develop, he provides a huge depth piece for us, especially given his size. Guy didn't play a whole heck of a lot last year, but he made the damn winning catch against Vanderbilt in the red zone. He's got a very unique frame. As soon as he stepped on campus as a freshman, coaches were excited about him. It's just about utilizing him properly, and you can't really rely on him to be like a steady starter, but he's good depth piece. You can build packages with him in it and show off his skill set. He's a mismatch. Mismatch? Hello. Mismatch problem. There we go. But this whole pass-catching group, y'all, it is just night and day of where it was at this time last year. I mean, last year, it was essentially three guys, and that was it. And one of them was Jalen Brooks, and the other one was Dak Joyner. So you had a guy from D3 and a guy who was a converted quarterback. And we were convincing ourselves that these guys were going to be really, really good. We were just way too thin last year. We just were. Now look at it. We have a proven Josh Van, and he's a new dad, so he's got dad strength. Jaheim Bell, he's proven. But then you bring in guys like Antoine Wells, Austin Stogner. You still have Xavier Leggett. Dak Joyner, maybe he's with being depth now. He can get more opportunities that better suit him. Landon Sampson is incoming. Kenyon showed up. Chad Terrell showed up in the spring game. MVP, right? And we landed transfer Corey Rucker. So we have more guys with experience. We have more guys who are used to this system. Guys like Leggett, Joyner, Van, Bell. But it's just so much more deep. And it's so much more exciting. It's just a lot of good things to look at. And then also looking back on some things, I mean, it goes without saying, but a guy like Spencer Rattler is going to make up for a lot of deficiencies in this offense, right? He showed he can stay composed under pressure, take a check down, and avoid the sack. That was something we did not see a whole heck of a lot of last year. Guys were just trying to make a play, right? They tried to be a hero, or they tried to throw it downfield, incomplete, or took a sack. I think that Spencer's ability to stay cool under pressure is going to pay enormous dividends. Now, of course, he's not going to be perfect, but the kid has seen a lot, and he's played against some of the top teams in the country, some of the top defensive coordinators in the country. It's just incredible. Bottom line is, this game showed that this team is much deeper and much more prepared than they were at this point last year. And if that is any indication of how this year is going to go, based on how they were last spring, we can all be excited. It's incredible. I can talk Gamecock football till I'm blue in the face. If you want to, please hit me up. But I have to talk about games that are actually being played, meaningful games in our baseball team. Now, Gamecock's getting the W, midweek W, against Winthrop, 5-2. Mark Kingston said after the game that he told the team that they might have to win ugly, and yeah, it kind of turned out that way, right? But a W is a W is a W, and with the midweek games especially, and on the road especially with this team, that is something to celebrate. So I'm celebrating. Winthrop, 5-2, who cares? Taking the W and walking off. But speaking of W's here, the winning pitcher was Cade Austin. Gets the win in relief. Cade Austin is my guy. I called that early in the season. I said, this kid is good, should pitch him more often. Came in, two innings of relief, gets the W. I'm a big fan. Big fan. Cade, if you somehow hear this, come on the show. Would love to talk baseball with you. How do I throw a seamer? A seamer, two-seamer. God. Sometimes I speak too fast for my own good here. But the save goes to Matthew Becker. I guess he's our closer now. Okay, moving on. But the play of the game, it goes to Evan Stone. If you haven't seen this, look this up. He came in late in the game, kind of for defense, and he made one of the best catches you'll ever see. Made the top 10 plays, and then on top of that, he went 1-for-1 at the plate. So makes an incredible diving catch, saves an extra base hit, essentially keeps us in the game, and then goes 1-for-1 at the plate and is productive. Have a day, Evan Stone. Stone, let's go. And now other player highlights here for y'all. Brant Belk, he went 1-for-3 with a ribby, 23-game hit streak. Huge. And he scored the go-ahead run. Brant Belk, honestly, he's got to be the MVP of the team to this point, right? At least on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, yes, Eister has been steady. Braswell was electric early on, but who has been pretty consistent all year? Brant Belk. I feel like every podcast I'm talking about him going 1-for-3, 2-for-4, RBI, sack fly, this and that. It's incredible. Scored the go-ahead run, too. It's incredible. And then Talmadge Lecroy going 2-for-3, 2 RBI, including the go-ahead RBI. So the freshman coming up big for Carolina baseball in this game. And speaking of freshmen, Michael Money Braswell, feels good to talk about him again on the podcast. He went 2-for-4, brought his average back up. I think he's 280-something, 282 maybe. But he seems to be performing better as of late, and it's great to see. I think it was a little start and stop with him when you got into SEC play, but seems to have settled down a bit there. And maybe, honestly, putting Becker in as more of a closer role takes a little bit of the load off of Braswell. Remember, he was getting some saves for us in the first part of the year, and that was all fine and dandy. But when the kid goes 0-for-4 and then is asked to change his mindset and go save a game, that's kind of a lot for a freshman. So we'll give him a pass there, but hopefully he continues to trend well. Now, looking ahead to this weekend, it's a big-time series against Auburn in Auburn. First time the Gamecocks are doing that since 2017. Our weekend rotation here for y'all is Friday, kicking things off with Brett Thomas, Saturday, Noah Hall, and Sunday, Will Sanders. So again, the Will Sanders mystery, I haven't seen anything. Has anybody seen a quote or an article explaining why Will Sanders is just not the Friday starter anymore? I feel like I read a lot about Carolina sports, and I just have not seen anything about that. So if anybody has something and can explain to me why he is just regularly not been the Friday starter, I would love to know. I truly would love to know, because I just want to know what's going on. But that's the rotation for you here. Taking a look at Auburn. Auburn is 26-12 overall, 8-7 in the SEC. Now, overall, Auburn has a very solid team, y'all. Their offense, in my opinion, is the strength of the team. They have an overall batting average of .295. And this is a fun fact for you. I guess it's fun. It's interesting, I guess I should say. They have outscored their opponents grand total on the year. All the opponents' runs and their runs. They have outscored their opponents by 100 runs this season. So their margin of victory, you could say, by deducing this, is pretty good. So it should make for a very challenging weekend for Carolina's pitching staff, which is just great. It just feels like we've been saying that every SEC series, ever since we entered in league play, it's going to be a challenge for the pitching staff. But you know what? That's all right. Wouldn't change a thing, honestly. I'd like to win some more, but hey, we're the Gamecocks, man. We got this. And then while some folks, you know, they may say that the Gamecocks will win or lose this series based on their pitching, I'm going to zag while everyone is going to zig. So my crow to the series here is just out-hit these guys. Don't worry about slowing their bats down. Out-hit these guys. Out-hit these SOBs. Their pitching staff has an ERA around 6 in the SEC, and South Carolina has shown the ability to score in bunches against Power 5 opponents. The key is, can you do it in multiple games? It kind of feels like you get one game a series from these guys. Well, they'll score 7, 8, or 9 runs even. So for me, I want to see that in multiple games this series where Carolina manages to score 6 or more runs. If they can do that 2 out of 3, I think we could be in a great, great position. So it may be a little bit of a far-fetched crow, or maybe a little bit of wishful thinking, if you will, that we're going to have this offensive explosion. But if we learned anything about this team this season, it's to expect the unexpected. So let's out-hit these SOBs. What do you say, y'all? Let's go, Cox. Let's win ourselves a series. That wraps up this episode. Like, subscribe, and review. Go, Cox. I'll catch you on the flip side.